Hey, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It. Today we're talking about stress in the modern world. Do you ever get stressed, Susan?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, me too. I still do. This is the podcast that will help you see life from a new perspective so you can prepare for when life knocks you on your butt without warning and help you to relight that passion within. Then you can live with genuine freedom in line with your purpose, with passion and courage, love and strength to be vulnerable in the face of anything that comes your way. Sounds good. Let's do it. I'm Stephen Webb, and ending up paralyzed at 18, going bankrupt, losing nearly everything, more heartbreaks than I can count. I know how hard it is to turn your life around. Let us help you find inner peace and flip it around when your life is hectic and feels impossible for you. And welcome the most important person in my life for the next hour, my co-host, writer, creative genius, and singing voice that melts my heart, Susan Jackman.
Aw, thanks, Stephen. Hey there, I'm Susan Jackman, co-host for Flip It and Rebuild It, and I'm here to share with you how I have learned to flip that story in my head and use every experience to grow and rebuild my life the way that I want it to be. I've experienced a lot of life and learned many valuable lessons. I do believe I can help someone learn from what I've been through, from how I've overcome childhood traumas, to learning to find the silver lining and lesson in every situation, no matter how negative the situation seems to be. It's about finding your peace of mind when life goes to shit, as it often does.
Absolutely. So
stress.
The thing is killing so many of us. Do you know why it's killing us?
Why?
I was reading in the David G book, De-stressifying, and what happens to our bodies in the first 5 seconds when we get stressed. Basically, it evolved over the years of protecting from that bear in the woods that was just about to attack us or eat us. But basically, in the first 5 seconds, we start to perspire, we start to sweat because it predicts the body's going to get hot. The blood thickens because it suspects that we might get cut. It cuts off all the blood and it cuts off all the workings to the stomach and to the liver and things like that, because none of that's important if you're not going to survive in the next few seconds. It then produces loads and loads of glucose, 3 or 4 chocolate bars equivalent.
Oh my gosh.
Just in case we need the energy in the next few seconds as well to run.
Yeah.
All of that happens in the space of 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. But the problem is in modern days now, we're like that most of the day. All the adrenaline's gone to the muscles, so we're not digesting our food. We're not. Mm-hmm. The body's only designed to do this for a few seconds.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Just crazy.
Yeah. And if you are under a constant state of stress, you actually go into distress.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah. Pretty much all the stuff you were saying, but because your body isn't meant to maintain that state, wreaks havoc on your body if it's constantly like that.
Nearby where I live, and I used to go down there when I was like a bit stressed or anything at home. So I used to go, it's about a mile away, and I used to sit in the gateway watching rabbits down the bottom of the field.
Yeah.
And I went down there several times last year when I was, or 2 years ago actually, when I was particularly feeling stressed. Mm-hmm. And I was just watching them, and they would just be there grazing, looking around. Every now and again, they would look up when they'd hear something, and then they'd put their heads back down. And it made me think that's exactly what we should be doing. It's exactly what we evolved to do.
Yeah.
If a lion or something come over, or a fox probably, more important, came over, they would look up and they might run or freeze, but they would deal with the fox. But the moment the fox left, they'd be okay. They would go back to the to the normal thing. Us humans, on the other hand, we don't do that.
No.
We got a panic
about... We stay on alert.
Yeah, we got a panic about the fox coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And what if the fox comes back tomorrow? What if it comes back next week? What if it goes and visits my mum? What if...
Yeah.
And we go to our friends and we phone all our friends. They're fox. You never guess what a fox done this morning. It came over and looked at me funny. And then we post it on Facebook. So a week later, we're still really peed off about this fox that just looked as funny.
Oh man, that's such a perfect analogy.
But it is, that's what we do. So
it is.
Yeah, we need to go back to the grazing afterwards.
Oh yeah, yeah. And how are we going to do that? We've got to become aware of everything we're doing. We've got to become aware of the stress. You know, like I was thinking this morning about this podcast and I thought of a few things that I wanted to talk about. And one of them was, you know, like when you're stressed out, you feel like it's coming from every direction, every little thing. Yeah. And one of the most important things you can do is try to sit down and pinpoint exactly what is it that's causing this stress? What's the source of this stress? So I can deal with it, so I can take action to change it, so I can decide if it's important, I need to ignore it.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's, you can't do anything about anything until you're aware.
Yeah.
And we're often running around panicking or stressed about a situation. It isn't until later in the day or a few days later that we realize we were stressed about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If someone approaches us at the time, we're like, no, I'm not stressed. It's just this. I need to deal with it. No, right. I'm not stressed. Leave me go. It's like,
right.
Okay. But we carry it for so long. We don't even realize we're doing it.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful Buddhist fable about it. And it was two Buddhists walking down for a muddy lane. And there was a female that had to get from one side to the other. And she had a nice dress on and... Mm-hmm. And one of the Buddhist monks went up and said hello, and she said, well, I'm trying to get to the other side, but I want to stay clean. I don't want to get my shoes and all really muddy in the lane. So one of the Buddhist monks picked her up and carried her across the lane. And later that evening, the two Buddhist monks went for a meal in their monastery. And one looks at the other and said, do you know what? We're not really supposed to talk to ladies and all out. And you not only spoke to her, but you picked her up and carried her to the other side. And the other one replied with, why are you still carrying her?
Yeah. Oh,
I left to go back at the other side of the lane.
Yeah.
And it's really important. We carry it around with us instead of actually analyzing it, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it turns into anxiety, I think, carrying it around.
What is going on right now? What's triggering me? Why am I anxious about this? Mm-hmm. And the funny thing with stress is it doesn't come from a place of annoyance. We all think it comes from a place of frustration. It comes from a place of, and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It very often comes from a place of deep loving and caring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're stressed at a driver superficially. We think it's because they're an ignorant or a bad driver because they cut us up. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we're stressed because we feared for our lives.
Right, yeah.
We fear for the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But none of that comes apparent at the time.
No.
At the time, it's just we're mad. Someone's done something to us and we take it personally. But if we really... created that little gap between what's happening and what's arising within us, as well as what's happening on the outside world. So something happens to us. A feeling arises. What is that feeling? Why am I feeling like that? Why am I feeling angry right now? Mm-hmm. It's because I care.
Yeah.
Every feeling originally comes from a deep caring. But it's really hard to see it when we're stressed.
It is. It is.
So what stresses you out most on a daily basis? What right now are your biggest stresses?
Right now, my big stresses are, honestly, I think the biggest thing that stresses me out is when I have trouble getting people to respect my boundaries, because that is something that I hold very strongly as a stress reducer, having strong boundaries. So yeah, right now that's stressing me out. I stress over money. I've got a little girl that I'm responsible for that depends on me, and I worry about that. But I don't want to say worry. Don't worry about it. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, I've worked really hard on learning how to not worry about things I can't control. Yeah. And what I've realized is that the stress is still there, even if I'm not worrying about it. So I've started noticing, you know, body signs. Like when I'm stressed, my hair starts getting real fragile and breaking off like crazy. And I'm like, okay, I'm stressed. What's going on? Yeah. I lose my appetite. I have trouble eating. I have trouble sleeping. Like there's a lot of physical and emotional symptoms that'll signal to you that you're stressed out, even if you don't realize it. And you can learn to watch out for those. Like I've got a whole list. Headaches, upset stomach, elevated blood pressure, chest pain, trouble sleeping. And the things that I mentioned about myself, like looking back at that list now today, I'm like, okay, I've been stressed for a while and not realized it, you know? And then there's emotional things like getting easily agitated. Like, you know, you might get irritated at someone because they drank all your coffee, but that's not what's really bothering you. You're stressed about something bigger. Like, yeah. But all those little things just bother you more. And normally you might let those roll off your shoulder. Moody. You feel overwhelmed and out of control, which is why you attach to those little things that you want to control because you want some order in your life. Trouble relaxing, quieting your mind, avoiding people. That's something I definitely do. And I'm aware of it now, and I try not to because I've realized if I hang out with the right people, it actually reduces my stress. But yeah, avoiding people is a big one.
Yeah. You brought up several things. I'm glad you brought them up, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the two things I'm glad you brought up, and every single one of them is absolutely right. And going back to what stresses you initially, and and what I was saying about the caring, it's not so much somebody pushes our boundaries, or it's because we care about them. We put them in place because we care.
Yeah.
And we feel as if it's a betrayal, and vice versa. It's about a respect thing and things like that.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because that's how I feel. If someone doesn't respect my boundaries, I feel like they don't respect me.
Yeah. And it's the same as the cup. One cup left out, fair enough, they forgot. But if it's all the time, it's like, you're not respecting me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to respect you. I'm trying to do my best here. But you said about all the subtle things that it does to us. And there's two things you pointed out. I'm not sure if you explained it as irritable bowel, but I didn't think I'd ever be talking about this on a podcast today. I get that. And going back to what happens when a body gets stressed, It really is no wonder something like 73% of people now suffer from irritable bowel.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And what we do with all of these things is we treat the symptoms. Mm. We go to the doctors, we get something for the irritable bowel. We go to the doctors, we get something because our hair is thinning it. Or maybe we do. I don't know. I don't know if there's a fix for that. But we take painkillers for the headache. We're constantly putting plasters over instead of actually fixing why we're getting ill.
Well, yeah, we're putting a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah.
Hoping it'll go away.
Treating the symptoms. That's all we're doing. And I'm not blaming the doctors here because the doctors have got less and less time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the world's biggest expert on my body.
Right. Yes.
Nobody knows my body like I know my body.
Yes.
When it comes down to the technical differences in the body, fair enough, I don't know. I need a doctor for that. But I'm expecting, and we all expect a doctor to have all the answers in 10 minutes. Well, I know realistically that I get a headache if I don't drink enough or if I get stressed. I know that I get irritable bowel if I get really anxious one day. The next day, I should be aware where the toilet's to.
Yeah.
And it's a reality.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be the reality. And since I, lost nearly 2 stone through just eating less calories, I still ate all my good things. I enjoy my KFC and things like that. But I lost the weight. And since I did that, I get less headaches. I get less illnesses and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And
Every
time I'm ill, it's stress related.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so subtle.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't even know I'm stressed. And then suddenly it's like, bang, that's what it was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens to me a lot, actually. Yeah. You know, I saw a really great quote for this morning. and I hope I can say it right, but it was something about, it's not the weight of the load, it's how you carry it.
I love that.
And that's the thing, like, you know, you can't get rid of stress. You can't make stress disappear, because things, life happens constantly, and things are always going to go wrong, and things are always, there's always going to be something. But, yeah. It's figuring out how to handle it, figuring out how to get back in control of yourself, figuring out how to carry that load in a way that's not stressing you out.
Yeah. Or don't take on the load to begin with.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's one of my points. Like, get a really good look at all the things you have on your plate and make hard yeses and hard nos and cut things off your plate.
Put the glass of water down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you pick up a glass of water and hold it, after a while, your arm's stressed, your arm's tired.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Is the glass of water got heavier? No.
Mm-mm.
It's the way we handle it. And the problem is nowadays, and I feel for our teenagers, and I feel for everybody now in this respect of when I was, I never thought I'd ever say this in my life, when I was a youngster, but I've said it now. Okay, I've said it. When I was a youngster, I never had any of these pressures. Well, I don't think I did. I had the pressure of what girl was going to fancy that week. And regarding homework and school, I was one of those students that my teachers loved having me in the class, just wish I'd do some work.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here, not out the window, Stephen.
Yeah.
I'm sure I wrote more essays from not handing work in than anything else.
Yeah.
It just never bothered me. It was really, you know, oh, another exam. Yeah. Nowadays, the pressure is huge. It's huge on the kids. It's huge on the parents. It's huge on all of us.
Yeah. I'm kind of inclined. I mean, I agree with that a little bit. But at the same time, you know, like, we have different stresses now than we had when we were kids. And our parents had different stresses when they were kids. Everyone had, there's always something. The pressure might have been a little different. The stressors might have been a little different, but it was still how we grew up and coped with it.
Yeah, it's the muscle that's grown in it. So I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to be a child in the time of my grandparents, because they lived through World War II and the Depression.
Yeah, first thing that sprung to mind is they had to go toilet outside.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They had to literally get out of bed without central heating, walk downstairs, go out to the bottom of the garden. Seriously? That, okay. So I take it all back. But yeah, it is relative. And, you know.
It's relative, exactly.
I suppose I see it with social media and all, they got the weight of the world. But they've grown up with that, I suppose, in some
ways. Yes, yes, yes.
And equally, opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a plus. But going back to the stress, the problem is we're living our body on a daily basis, nearly all day or a lot of the day, in a state that it's not designed to be in. Now, then this autoimmune system or the nervous system, because the autoimmune system shuts down because there's no point in surviving. There's no point in fighting infections if you're not going to get through the next 4 seconds. On a daily basis, we're not able to sleep. We're not able to do all these things. We're not able to fight infections because the body is in a state of, I have to fight.
Right, exactly.
You can tell that with people because you go to have a conversation and they're ready to claw your eyes out nearly sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nothing to do with you, nothing to do with what you said. But because they're in this state of stress, it's just not doing anybody any good. I don't know what else to say to that.
No.
But it's important to remember, stress is a brilliant system.
Oh, yeah. And it gives you information that you need to know. It tells you something important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has a purpose.
Brilliant. That's what I was just about to say. Going back to what you said is we need to listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm feeling stressed. I'm starting to sweat here in this situation. You know, I've got some red blotches around my neck and... You know, I'm starting to get really hot, but it's not hot in here. So why am I feeling like this? And then we can take notice, because the body doesn't lie.
Right, exactly, exactly.
And it's only information.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's what we do with that information. And very often when we look into it and, you know, all of your liberation, all of your freedom, all of your happiness is looking into the darkness, you know, looking into the dark night of the soul, as they say.
Yeah.
And that's what we have to do with our stress. It's no good going, no good running around saying, I don't want to be stressed anymore.
Right.
Give me the tablets. That'll sort me out for 4 hours. Then you're stressed again because your head aches.
Yeah.
It gets to a stage we're stressed because we're stressed.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about like what we do when we become aware that we're stressed out.
Well, like you say, the first thing is becoming aware. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as we know the information there, as soon as we can analyze that we're not under threat in that moment, we're not in immediate danger.
Right.
Take a breath.
Yes.
Probably the best thing that ever evolved is the fact that we can breathe, but not only that, we can control our breathing.
Yes.
You cannot overly control your heart rate, all the other things. They're more automatic, but we can influence them, but we can control our breath.
Yeah.
So take a deep breath.
You know. I agree. Yeah. That's always the very first thing I do when I, in the moment, realize I'm stressed out. Always.
There's various ones you can do. You can do, I normally do 4-4-4, which is breathe in for 4, hold it for 4, and breathe out for 4. And especially if you breathe in for your nose, hold it, breathe out for your mouth.
Yeah.
And what this does, it tells your body that it's okay in this moment. We've got it. Mm-hmm. We're in control.
Yeah.
And it immediately reverses all those things.
Yes.
It immediately reverses. So although it takes 5 seconds to get there, it takes about 20 to 30 seconds minimum to get back. So you have to do, if you do like 1 minute of these breaths, you're back to a normal state and you're ready.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're better prepared for life if you're in a state of non-stress.
Oh,
yeah. Then you are if you're stressed.
Yeah.
You're less likely to react and make a mistake and 4 hours later.
Yeah. Reacting's never good.
it's never good. We all do it, but it's never good.
Yeah.
I do it less. I still do it. I've got a daughter, and you know, whenever we're emotionally charged and people we care about, sometimes we expect a little too much.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes but even then, the gap between the awareness and realizing that we overreacted. So I recognize I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling uncomfortable here. What is it?
Yeah.
And it's very often a stress of some kind. So the breath is the first thing we can do.
I have a bunch of tools that I use because my life can be kind of crazy, honestly. And it's funny because I actually feel pretty stressed right now, but it's because I'm not utilizing my tools. I'm like in a situation where I can't do some of these things, but like the breathing, slow down my breathing. That's the first thing. Meditation. Like I can tell, like I haven't meditated hardly at all in the last 2 months. And I used to do it multiple times a day and I can feel the difference. Like, but I like to have somewhere quiet, preferably outside where I can meditate, but just peace and quiet when I meditate. And I've been around a lot of people lately and I really haven't had a lot of privacy, so I haven't been doing it. I need to just go out in the woods and do it is what I need to do, you know?
I'm going to jump in here and pause you just a moment. And the reason I am is because I think this is really important for listeners. Why haven't you meditated in the last 2 months when you probably needed to more than anything?
I know. Just because, like, I don't have any personal, private, quiet space in the home I'm living in. Before this, my home was always my sanctuary. My room was like my girl cave. And it was all, and I would meditate in my room because it was super relaxing. And a year ago, I was sitting outside doing it when I had like a nice pretty yard with trees and woods and birds and animals. I would sit outside and do it. So that's what I need to do.
As you know, I'm a meditation teacher and I'm going to challenge you on all of that.
Okay.
Meditation isn't about fair weather.
No, I know.
It isn't about... The funny thing is, we all know, and I'm guilty here as well, okay? When I realize I'm having a really bad time, the first thing I realize is I haven't been meditating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, me.
And I think if anybody meditates regularly, if they believe it's not working, stop for a week.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Meditation gives us this ability to deal with stuff when it arises.
Yeah.
To slow down. And what I would say to you and anybody that is struggling with finding space to meditate, finding that quiet place to meditate, I would say in really polite terms, bollocks, you don't need to find the quiet place. Do it wherever it's needed, because meditation doesn't stop at the cushion.
Yeah.
It's an all-day thing. It's every breath. It's every time you remember.
Yeah.
You know, don't use the red traffic lights as places of annoyance. Use them as a meditation stop sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like you in your bedroom at the moment, it might not be quiet. It might not be perfect, but it's the perfect place to meditate.
Yeah.
When things are really, really against us is the perfect time to sit there and go, what's going on?
Yeah.
But you're bang on. Meditation with the breath is, the breath's the medium. But meditation prepares us so much.
Oh, yeah. And I actually have a couple of activities that to me are very much like meditation that helped me a lot. Yoga, I think, has been one of the biggest stress reducers for me. And just like taking good care of myself, eating and sleeping and just trying to take good care of myself and doing, that's not meditative, but I was going to say art. I find doing art very meditative, and especially the art that I do, because I do like mandalas and kind of like Zentangle and kind of a mix between that. And I find that to be incredibly meditative.
For those that don't know, I'm paralyzed from the just below my neck and my chest. So yoga isn't really something I do.
Yeah.
But yeah, art or anything.
Music. Music. Perfect example.
Anything that gives us focus.
Yes.
And it's really important. We don't want to disconnect. We don't want to deny the stress.
Yes.
It's not about trying to find what's stressing us and shoving it in a drawer and getting rid of it.
No, I kind of picture it more like you're trying to separate yourself from what you're feeling and kind of look at it from, you know, some another perspective.
Absolutely. Make it an object. Make it something that you can recognize it. The other thing we can do is after you've taken a few breaths, you can, and this is following on from what you were just saying, make it an object, is we can, where is it to in my body right now? What color is it? What shape is it? What texture is it? And visualize it completely. Then it might be red, it might be spiky, it might be just rough textured, it might be, doesn't matter. There's no right answer. Then move it around your body a little bit and then dissolve it and then bring it back and dissolve it, bring it back.
Like right now, if I just kind of relax and feel my body, like I can feel that my throat is super tight, not because I'm sick, but because I feel like I'm not being listened to, I'm not being heard. I feel like there's a knot in my stomach because I have like big responsibilities hanging over my head.
Yeah. It's really interesting what you're saying, because me and you are sat here recording this podcast. Because of what we're talking about, if you just said that to me out of the blue, I would, my reaction would be, why? What have I done now? What's it? This is about me, isn't it? So I would react in that way. But very often something that is nothing to do with the present situation.
Right. Yeah.
Is stressing us here.
Yeah.
And it also brings it to this moment. And
And
that's really a problem with family.
Yeah.
You know, we turn up at a family function, we're feeling all stressed. And they take it personally. It ends up in a big argument when it was nothing to do with that. So, yeah, I just thought about that as you were saying it. But, yeah, when we objectify it and make it an object, it gives us control over it. Ah, the red box is back.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
And listen, yeah. What's the answer? Oh, yeah.
And you know, I also think it's super important to embrace your mistakes. Like, you know, we're all just human. There's no such thing as a perfect human. And I think people stress themselves out worrying about trying to be perfect or beating themselves up after they've messed something up. But, you know, it's just like what we were talking about before. It's all important information. You can learn something from that situation and you're going to improve it. It's going to get better and better.
Yeah.
And like, you got to just embrace life's mistakes.
We're all just winging it.
Like, I'm not telling you what to do, but I feel so much better now that I embrace my mistakes.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I'm not telling you what to do, but you just should do what I do.
Do it.
And at the end of the day, we can, everybody else, all the experts in the world, all the books and everything like that, not saying that we're experts, we're just a couple of people that are winging it and doing our best with it. There's me there talking for you. But... yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. Talk amongst yourself, folks. No, but the whole point is there isn't one book that tells parents how to bring up kids. There isn't one book that, mm-mm. You know, if there was an answer, we would have instructions by the governments now about how to grow up and what to do.
Right. Well, that's why I think you've got to be really clear with your priorities and what you want to say yes and no to, because the only thing that really matters is that you're doing what's best for you. And if that will make you happy and everyone else around you will be happy. So you got to be really clear with what you want. I can't tell you how many people I run into and I'm just like, they're stressed, they're worried, they're anxious, they're unhappy. I'm like, well, what do you want? What do you care about? What are you passionate about? They don't know. They haven't thought about it.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things I do for myself to make myself feel better when I'm stressed is do things that I love. That make me feel like me, that connect me to who I am, like going out and playing music. Like, I didn't go out all last week because I had to work, and I feel like crazy to play. Like, I feel it.
Yeah, most people don't know what they want. Most people have no idea. They want to be happy. Well, what's going to make you happy?
You need that why. You talk about the why all the time. You need that why.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The why is the most important. And when you really do have that why, everything else just fits into place because there's no effort. You don't need the motivation and willpower. The only way you need the motivation and willpower is when you haven't got the why. I got this image in my head and I've got to share it. You imagine you're sat on the sofa and it's like, come on. You know, get on with life. What are you going to do? Let's go out and do this. And and your son said, I really can't be bothered. Because there's no real big why as to, we should go for a run. We should do this. Whereas if someone set a light to that sofa, they would stand up and go, well, why? Because they've got a why. They stay there, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Probably not the best metaphor, but it's true though.
It works.
Suddenly you've given him a why.
Oh yeah. Well, like my daughter is my biggest why for everything. And you know what? I've got all this stuff going on. I'm so busy. But yesterday I took the whole day off just to hang out with her and spend it with her birthday. And just, we would just relax. And we went to a restaurant. We had cake. We came back and crafted. We just, you know, watched movies. We just hung out. And like, you know, that was stress reducing. And going out and playing music is stress reducing, doing art, doing meditation. Yeah, without that why, like, you have no reason to get up in the morning. I mean, you wake up and you hate your day. Like, my life is hard right now, but I have a reason to get up in the morning, and I have a reason to keep fighting, and I have a reason to keep training, and I have a reason to make this work out. And I'm not going to give up because I know what my why is.
How about the next show we do, How to Find Your Why?
Yeah. Ooh, that's a good one. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we need to do that. So to recap on this show, you know, stress is killing us and we need to find ways of dealing with it. And we need to do it without, the headache is caused by the stress because the stress is caused by something arising that you don't really like or not in control with.
Yeah.
But instead of having painkillers to treat the headache, we need to get that gap between what's arising, we don't want to be part of it, and how we respond to it.
Yes, exactly.
And how do we do that? We take a breath. Mm-hmm. And how do we prepare for those moments? We meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know many viewers might say, listeners might say, well, I can't meditate. Well, join the club. I've been meditating now 5 or 6 years, and I teach meditation. And trust me, I'm crap at meditating. And I say that because the moment I sit down and meditate, my mind goes into overtime. And within 4 seconds, I'm thinking about what I should eat for tea or what I've got to buy my niece in 7 months' time for a birthday that's really irrelevant.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or look on Facebook.
Yeah.
But the point of meditation is not to sit there in solitude, disconnection, and have some kind of psychedelic thoughts. You know, there's alcohol and drugs for those. You know, just don't misuse them. Enjoy right. them, don't misuse them. So the meditation is purely not about sitting there and disconnecting and blanking your mind. It's about returning to the present moment.
Yes.
And where stress is concerned with the present moment, if we're there and present without jumping off the handle, mm-hmm. we can handle it and deal with it.
Yeah.
And just 5-10 minutes a day, everybody can do that, including you at the moment, Susan. Everybody could do 5-10 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Just sit there. And how do you do it? For people that have never meditated, sit on the edge of your bed and listen to all the sounds that you never heard before.
Yeah.
Don't miss a bird cheep. Don't miss your tinnitus. Don't miss the radiators creaking in the morning, or, you know, just don't miss a sound.
Yeah.
And every time your mind wanders, smile sweetly and thank you for the thought, but I'm listening. And that will change your life.
And, you know, just because it doesn't work the first time or the second time, just keep doing it. It'll come. Just keep doing it.
And how do you know your meditation's working? You end up with less friends. You end up spending more time alone. But you end up loving more deeply. You end up enjoying life more. You end up seeing the miracles and everything.
Oh, yeah.
You end up with a lot less stress, a lot less headaches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to stay near a toilet after 2 days of stress.
Yep.
Where that just come from? I apologize to everyone, but, you know.
It's good to know. It's good information. It's good information.
It's a reality today, isn't it, right?
It is. No, you're not kidding. Like, I was pretty messed up for days. No, that's a real thing.
Me too. And I'm glad we brought it up, because I don't think people talk about that enough.
No. There's so many physical manifestations.
So thank you, Susan. And if you want to get hold of me, it's stephenwebb.com. And I help people to find calmness and inner peace in the most hectic times in their lives. And
you can find me at Susan's Inspiration Space, where I share things that I find inspiring, from art to the music to just little inspirational goodies of the podcast, lives. Just anything I find inspiring.
Please share and rate this show. And as you know, the first month is going to be, is it free? Do we say it's free? Or
I guess so.
The first month is free.
I mean, after that, it's only $1 to sign up for once a week podcast. But we're just trying to get out there right now. We want you all to hear it and enjoy it and see if you like it first. So. Yeah,
share it with your friends if we help at all.
Yes, please.
And let's live a stress-free life and just breathe. Just feel the release.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you.